ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of topics. NFL, with the week left, how's everything shaking out? The Bengals looked awesome. Are they poised to dominate the AFC North? My God, that game last night. Thankful to the Elk City football boosters for putting on the kind of the end of year, what do you call it?
Banquet.
So I didn't have to watch that Monday night football game. Some ludicrous numbers coming out of that for both quarterbacks. Who's the best team the Cowboys have beaten? We buy into the 11-5, but when you look deep down into their schedule, they're 5-0 against the horrific AFC or NFC East, 6-5 against everybody else. So who's the best team they've beaten? Aaron Rodgers, has he wrapped up the MVP for you? Should he have? Will he have? Antonio Brown, lots to talk about. Top five, bottom three at the NFL. Lots of college football topics that you guys wanted us to mention yesterday and didn't have time, and those have ballooned to even more since we got off the air. What a roller coaster of a day of emotions for OU fans. Started out with a bang with the hiring of Todd Bates as the co-defensive coordinator, defensive line coach. That looks to already be at least starting to have the chance to really reap benefits with his recruiting abilities. It looks for all the world like Alabama's secondary coach will come to coach corners at OU. That was great. And then Caleb Williams' bombshell dropped about 3 o'clock that he's in the transfer portal. And not too long after that, a couple hours after that, Dylan Gabriel announces he's out of the transfer portal and at Oklahoma. So a wild day for OU. OSU, a lot of talk about how big of a win was that against Notre Dame. And we're going to rank it. Kind of where is it at in importance in this season? How does it fit in with the best of all time at OSU? And then also some high school hoops back at it tonight all across Western Oklahoma. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. It's 225-9698. You can give us a call. You can shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in. NIL is also on the rundown and whether or not that's ruining or changing college football. I think there's a distinction between the two. Things there. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can stay in touch with us a couple of different ways. You can log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has everything. It's got 3 radio stations here. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight. ThePennyNews.com through that app. Pick up a fresh copy of the print edition of the Penny News tomorrow, but you better run out and get this week's right now before it changes. It's free all over the area. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. We'll talk about the games tonight on both of those streaming services. And then, of course, we have the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you miss us entirely, you can go back and hear us on KADSAM.com or iTunes. Excuse me. If you go to iTunes, go that route, subscribe, and you're alerted when a new podcast drops. Good morning, Jared.
How we doing?
Man, a wild day yesterday as far as following news and college football. I tell you what, first off, thanks to the football boosters and all the coaches and players and all that putting on that banquet. It was fantastic there at the First Baptist Church. Good food and just a really fun night to celebrate what was the best high school football season in Elk City since the 90s. Best one of the millennium, if you will.
Easily.
I don't know about easily. 2004 ended the same week,
right?
In the semifinals.
Refresh my memory. Where they finished in the district on that one?
I'm assuming third, okay. Because they played Clinton. Now, I do think it was a little bit different back then, as far as the setup of the bracket.
That's what I'm asking. Like across.
Yeah, I can't remember how that worked.
I can't either.
But either way, you know the competitiveness in that finals. Or in the final game in the semifinals.
Makes sense.
Probably tops it, and a 10-win season puts it there. But, you know, it's funny because Coach Meadows kept making the point of the weight room, and the weight room is a big part of what has happened. And it's so true because said, look at these guys. They don't look the same as they did 2 years ago. And it's true. We marveled at that throughout the season. Like, whoa, look at that guy. You know, he looks different than even last year.
Hey, listen, full disclosure, that's what we were saying, you know, in the background. Like, man, they get in the weight room. They could be pretty good.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing that I noticed. And it's hard to tell. Like, if you don't see those guys up close, like from where we are a lot of times.
Right.
Outside of, you know, the games in the stands. You don't realize how big some of those other guys are.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, like when the guys would come in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't say I'm tall, but I'm right at 6 foot, and some deem that as being tall. But these kids, you know, I could tell from years past to now, like, yeah, they put some time in the weight room. And that was a common theme when I talked to them, you know, especially early in the year. Like, what'd you do in the off season? What were you up to? Unprovoked, say, oh, well, you know, got in the weight room and got on the track. Went through a speed camp, da-da-da, stuff that they were told to do and stuff they weren't told to do, and they did it.
Yep.
And that's what it takes.
No doubt about it. Yeah, there's
– bravo, guys.
Pretty big group of juniors up there that'll be coming back, and I'm like, whoa. No wonder we were calling their names so often. Like that Gage Eastman dude?
Yeah.
He's a big old dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. He kind of looks shorter, I guess, a little bit because Joseph is out there. You know?
Yeah.
But that's a big dude.
Yeah.
So – the football team will be in just. I think they'll be in fine hands. No worries about those guys. As they continue to work that hard. And
can you make announcements?
No, absolutely not. That's a negative.
Okay. I mean, if anything was announced last night, I didn't know if that's public knowledge or anything's public knowledge.
Coach
can and cannot.
Coach
say.
Meadows did announce that he is retiring again.
That's what I was. Going
I will
for.
Say that.
That's
I
what
can
I was going
say
for.
That he announced
okay.
that.
Okay.
There at that. So the rest of it'll be. Coming down the pike at
sure,
some point.
Sure. That's what I was alluding to.
Yeah, and a heck of a career for him.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
Big thank you to him for getting Big Elk football back on track. Took a steady hand to do it, and he was the guy to do it.
Yes, he was. High school basketball tonight. We're back at it, and the grind officially starts tonight. Because between now and literally 2 months from now, March the 4th. That's either semifinal Friday or championship Saturday at the Big House for the small schools. So it's going to be a 2 month sprint to the end. And we'll start for the small schools, of course, the week after for the larger schools. Tonight, Big Elk TV, 6:30 at Elk City and Anadarko. I'll have the 6:15 pregame show for that one. Then on Paragon TV, also Cool 94 Radio. Paragon TV, you got Cheyenne Radin at Eric. Merritt travels down to Fort Cobb Broxton. Rapo Butler's out at Sweetwater. Hammond is at home for Corn Bible. And then I know you're compiling all of the brackets for the weekend tournaments. And we'll have next
everybody's
2 days.
Everybody's playing in a tournament, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's playing. So we'll have the next couple days to kind of dissect some of that. But at least for tonight, all these games at 6:30. Radio for Merritt right here on KADS, radio for Elk City against Anadarko. See if these teams this is always kind of a fun portion of the schedule for me coming out, especially following Elk City. There's just a couple of games. There's not a – the sample size for the smaller schools is a lot bigger than what it is for Merritt and Elk City, right?
Right.
And so you get to see kind of what happened through the Christmas break. You get a couple games before. Now it's time. Now you get a bunch of practice time to iron out what you think are the weaknesses, maybe accentuate some of the strengths, and we'll see more of maybe what the teams can become to start here with this game and then three in a row, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in tournaments. And then from there, it's like there's not a night off, a Tuesday or a Friday, and then some Thursdays and Saturdays mixed in there as well. So this is always a fun part for the next, you know, month to see, okay, how much better have these teams gotten, and then how close are they to the ceiling, and what is that ceiling as we get closer to brackets released. I mean, I know for the small schools, this is a huge week because next week's rankings lock in where you are as far as the top eight and all that. So
yeah,
a chance for some of these schools to jump up there with great performances throughout. And everybody's in a tournament that has a bunch of good teams.
Exactly. That's what I was going to go with. A lot of these tournaments are packed with talent. So it is an opportunity for these schools to jockey in position by having a good weekend at these tournaments, a good showing. You know, some of these tournaments, you can go 2-1 and look pretty good doing it, you know, depending on who that one was, you know. So something to keep an eye on. It's going to be a lot of almost desperation in some places. Like, God, we're right there at the brink. We have to play good in this tournament. Some teams, like, for instance, Arapaho, they host their tournament. You'd think they could, you know, they're going to host. They always attract good teams there. They're kind of right there, you know. If they slip up, they could fall below that 8 mark. If they don't, they could get above it. Both teams, I'm talking about, both teams, big opportunity for them. So a lot of pressure's on them in their home gym to perform well in their home tournament. So a lot of storylines like that going on. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I look at a team like Navajo on the girls' side. Just the lone loss to Hammond at 10-1 at number 9.
There you go.
You know, where go win a tournament here this week, and they're at Hammond. No, they're not.
They used to go to that one. They used to be in the Warrior Classic. Yeah. Well, I got the bracket right here. Stand by. Where you at?
I wasn't going to bring them up, and then all of a sudden, I was looking at the rankings, and bam, they were right there.
Who, Navajo?
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure that they're not in the... I came to Merritt a couple times, too.
They're not in the Warrior Classic.
They're not at Merritt either.
Where are you, Navajo?
Timmy, where are you at? Anyway,
come on, coach. Help
us out. But that's a good one there to be able to move. And you're right, Arapaho Butler on the girls' side at 12. Probably a tough ask to move all the way up into the top eight, but the boys are, what, number 5? You know,
without looking, I think that's
5 or 6. So they're, you know, just, you know, a solid weekend keeps them right there where they need to be. So it'll be a lot of fun. These tournament weeks are always a lot of fun. And you kind of start getting to see them play. Different teams play different teams that maybe they wouldn't in the regular season. I mean, I know we're in the regular season, but, you know, you see some different matchups in some of these tournaments that might start forming a more of an opinion on how certain teams will do once we get to the playoffs by playing some better teams and some better competitions. And for the most part, outside of just a handful of these schools, it's on neutral sites, right? Obviously, the host school is playing on their home floor, but everybody else, all other 7 teams in the tournament on both sides, boys and girls, are playing neutral site games. And so that's where you get more of that playoff feel, I think, to it and get an idea of what's going to happen later on down the line. All right, let's take a break before we hit the college.
Playing at odd times of the day sometimes. Yeah, you know, like an afternoon game. Thursday, the first game's at 10 a.m. By the way, I won't be here Thursday.
That's a good point.
Sorry about that. But that's sometimes that's how it is in playoffs, and especially state tournament. Sometimes you get that draw at the 10 a.m. game.
No doubt. Let's take a look at the Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl Pick'em standings.
Why?
Because it's always fun.
Why?
It's always fun, Jared.
Why are we looking at it, Aaron?
Because
I
we
wonder
need,
why.
We are looking at it, Jared, in order to give Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty props for helping us out with the Bowl Mania again this year. And I'll be darned, right there at the top, Skinny's Picks, 25-11. Now, listen, it was against the spread, and for the rest of you, pretty solid. I thought we did a lot. I thought our contest was a lot more solid in the bowl. Now, it's a smaller sample size, but I think there was, man, that was solid picking. I mean, listen, 22-14 for Doc and Brian. That's good. That's 8 games over.
That's very good.
500. Think about that. Let's see. You win. If you bet every game $100, you win $2,200. You lose $14. So you're up $800 plus $140 down for the juice. So you're making $660. That's fantastic work.
It's very good.
Very, very good. So thanks to everybody for playing. There's still a couple games left. Unfortunately for everyone that's not me, you can't win. So, but try your hardest. On these last couple games. Is it tonight? Is K-State LSU tonight?
That game is no
the
interest
fourth,
for me.
I think
don't
it
know.
Is. I think it's tonight.
Is it?
And this is another one of those. We talked about it, what, Thursday maybe? Wednesday or Thursday? Here it is. Let's see. Yeah, tonight.
Okay.
Go look. There's only one side of this game you can pick. There really is only one side. If you go monitor where the line is now versus where it was when we had to pick this game. Now, that's not guaranteeing you're going to win and going to be right, but there's only one team. There's only one purple to pick in this game. If you look at where the line is now versus where the line was when they came out back when this contest started.
So would that be K-State?
It has to be K-State. Aren't they like a touchdown favorite now?
I've not seen the recent line. I know LSU opened as the favorite. I can find it, but
I'll look it up.
Because it, the way what, how you explain
it. You're getting like 9 points of value.
Right.
Yeah, so K-State opened as a 2.5-point underdog. In our game, it's 1.5. They're now a 7-point favorite. So when the game kicks off, if you pick LSU, that means you're giving up 8.5 points.
Right.
To what the line – you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just – you have to pick Kansas State. I mean, you don't have to, but if you use – if you're looking at the – I mean, it's like the past and the present all in one because of when this – you know, when the lines came out way back when in December. So anyhow, that's just a little nugget of and of one way to possibly look at it. All right, enough of that.
Who schedules this game? This game is – it feels like – you're very late to the party.
You know, used to – it's funny because used to – maybe it was BCS time. Maybe it was early playoff time. I think it was BCS. So, the build-up to the championship game or whatever, you'd have those – you'd have, like, the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. But then the big bowls would follow, you know, day by day by day by day. But now – and so then they would put one in the day, you know, like during the afternoon sometimes – so that you'd have a game leading into the big, not the, you know, the championship game, but leading into one of the bigger bowls. And it's like somebody forgot to tell the Texas Bowl that's not happening anymore.
Right.
Hey, Texas Bowl, we don't need a matchup between LSU and Kansas State to tide us over till next Monday.
No.
Feels like that's what this is trying to do. All right.
We, especially with the way their seasons went, it's not exciting for us. But some would say any day of football is better than a day without.
I think that's
true.
There's
other things, though, more exciting for me tonight.
Well, we're going to
mention all the high school games. I'd rather watch some of those.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Jared. Come this very day next week, on this Tuesday of next week, you'll be hankering, maybe not quite yet, but you'd be ready for a Kansas State LSU game because guess what? College football will be over.
I see.
After Monday.
Yeah.
Speaking of college football, what a day it was for Oklahoma fans yesterday. A bunch of joy. Right after we got off the air, maybe an hour after we got off the air, you start seeing the reports that Brent Venables is bringing in Todd Bates as co-defensive coordinator and also D-line coach. And if you kind of say into the radio, who's Todd Bates? Well, he's been in charge of the D-line at Clemson underneath Venables. He's also been I think he was named the top recruiter in the nation by Rivals twice in his time at Clemson. And if you look at the Twitter chatter by players that are still in high school, defensive linemen in particular, a lot of all of a sudden, hey, Oklahoma looks pretty nice because of Todd Bates. So, you know, that's one of those things that it's easy to talk about. It's easy to think it's going to be a good deal until it comes to fruition. We don't know. But as far as a hire, I don't know that you could have made a better one than what Venables did with Todd Bates. Then you start seeing the reports filter out about, how do you say his name, Jay Alai? Alai?
Oh, God, I don't know.
He's the secondary corner coach at Bama. I mean, and to me, when you start getting defensive coaches from Clemson and Alabama to join Venables' staff, that's a good thing. Because if you haven't been paying attention, those two defenses have been – pretty salty over the past decade. And so that was like euphoria. And then 3 o'clock came. And the announcement that I think Sooner fans, maybe deep down in their hearts, knew was coming, but had been dreading since the Alamo Bowl finished. And that was Caleb Williams has officially put his name into the transfer portal. Now, that didn't, or doesn't still, I suppose, necessarily mean that Caleb Williams is leaving. But what it does is it opens up and it makes the process correct and legal and the right way of doing things so that now he can talk to other teams. This is probably a move that was always going to happen, no matter if he had designs of coming back to OU or not. But this makes it possible to basically – he's basically a free agent. He basically turned down the player option to come back to OU.
Yeah.
And he is a free agent in the transfer portal.
And he's trying to do it as graceful as possible, saying, "Hey, OU's still a possibility. I'm gonna let them recruit me and all that stuff." Just basically, I don't know how he said it word for word, but kept the door open. But I think with the news that later came that night, the evidence is pretty clear. OU's, you want to talk about that?
Dylan Gabriel had been down at UCF. He was in the portal and he actually kind of committed to UCLA at one point in this process.
18 days.
Was it?
He was committed to them for 18 days.
I was going
to
say, it was, as I remember seeing that and thinking, you know, that was in between the time of Riley leaving and the Alamo Bowl, and it was one of those immediate speculation of that could be OU's replacement because of his prior relationship with Levy. And then he went to UCLA, and he's like, oh, take that one off the board. Well, turns out maybe not, and actually turns out not, because Dylan Gabriel has – committed to be the quarterback at Oklahoma. And listen, back to Caleb Williams, though.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You know, Gabriel's not Caleb Williams. There's no doubt about that. And in the short term, losing Caleb Williams is going to be massive for Oklahoma, not only because you're not going to have him. All reports say Mario Williams is probably gone. And what other dominoes leave as well? That's the short term, and it's going to be awful. We'll see what the long-term results are. But for those, you know, with the crumbling of the program and all that, that's not happening. Listen, if anything was proven the last month, is that the Oklahoma football program is way more than one person. It's way more than Lincoln Riley. It's way more than Bob Stoops. And it's way more than Caleb Williams. It just is. It's the way it's always been. And I see no reason for it to not be that. Now, interesting question on the text line, because to me, I was shocked when I saw this yesterday. And that was the release from Brent Venables and Joe C. as soon as Williams entered the portal.
Yeah.
And then their release that followed. Sure didn't put off the vibe of no one person's bigger than the program.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. He's kind of a transcending quarterback, kind of that. I mean, that's we've seen the potential, we've seen the good of Caleb Williams, then we see the youth of him this past season, and then they think, man, he fixed that stuff. He's going to be a really, really good quarterback, and they can see, you know. And I think really that message wasn't for just Caleb Williams, you know, about Caleb Williams, because of the domino effect that you said. Because they see, well, if he leaves, then we're going to see. I don't want to say mass exodus, but we'll see a couple other pieces leave with him that will be hard to fill. But the common thing I kept hearing yesterday was, and it was true even it was before the Dylan Gabriel announcement, was, you know, at right now it feels like the portal is just a one-way street for OU, and it all leads out of town. It is a two-way street. It works both ways. So are you going to get a dynamic player like a Mario Williams could have been, or maybe even a Mims if he leaves? Probably not, but they'll find guys to fill positions up. I'm just anxious to see, you know, I don't know. I mean, did the Dylan Gabriel thing excite me initially? Not really. But then watching film on him and then hearing his history with Levy, and well, it might in a weird way be a better fit. Because
he's better than Nick Evers would be, but
well, yeah. But my point is,
my butt. Caleb Williams would be better than him.
Well, yeah,
you know what I mean. No matter who the coach is,
I meant if it wasn't Dylan Gabriel, if it was somebody else.
Yeah, because
of how it fits with Levy, because they had the history together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all doom and gloom as far as the QB position is concerned. You're right. That's what I said about Caleb Williams. This guy. That's why they put out a statement like that, because he is almost once in a decade type player.
And what's crazy is, like, okay, that's all well and good, but he's the first real free agent.
This is what this has turned into.
He's the first one. And so I would hope that the next time this happens, because it's going to happen again,
I would hope they wouldn't do this. Yeah.
I thought it was almost embarrassing for them to put that statement out, just because you preach and preach and preach throughout a month that it's the program, not one guy. It's the program, not one guy. And then the very first thing you do is this on a player. Come on. I mean, to me, a coach is almost more important than one player, because guess what? The coach is always – the coach has a potential of being there longer. Mm-hmm. Then one, this guy's going to be here 2 more years and gone.
Yeah.
And it's not sure it can always help build that, hey, we've got these many guys in the NFL type thing, right? I mean, but at the moment, at this particular moment in time, that's not something that Oklahoma's lacking on, is NFL pedigree. Now, the problem is, and this is going to lead into where do you think he's going, the problem is that NFL pedigree rode out of town out west. And if I was Caleb Williams and my goals were my goals, and that is to make it to the NFL, and then obviously the NIL money is also going to be there too, there is zero doubt where I'd go.
Oh, it's west.
100%. And no one's going to want to hear that. But there is zero doubt where I'd go. And it's USC. And it's to play for the guy that has put 3 straight guys into the league like he has. That's just the truth of it. And so I know OU fans, that's going to make them even madder. And there's actually a report this morning that it may be UCLA, which seems weird. I mean, I get it. Chip was a NFL coach, but, I mean, his guys haven't had much success in the league. But anyway, how awesome would that be, though, if you're an OU fan? Is that the best possible scenario for Caleb Williams?
If he goes to
UCLA and can beat Riley?
To compete against Riley rather than play for Riley?
Yeah.
Does he want to – and you're right, he has 2 more seasons before he becomes draft eligible. Does he want to go to – because let's face it, USC, it's not going to be an immediate national title season, contending season for them in their first season. They're going to be better. But does he want to be a part of that rebuild? Does he want to waste another season is what I'm saying.
I don't know if he cares about that.
Just a matter because of developing for the league.
100%. And I think that they believe, and the proof is in the pudding, especially if he goes there, they believe that Lincoln Riley is the best guy in college football to do that. And quite frankly, right now, it's hard to disagree with them. Because when you look at the track record. And then, and this has to be something that went into his thoughts, that's Riley's, to go there, is I've got the track record already established now. You put my track record with the glitz and the glamour and the NIL money that's available in L.A., watch out. I can get any quarterback I want. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean their team is going to be great, but he can that pipeline ain't slowing down. Even if it's not Caleb Williams, he's already got Malachi Nelson there. Committed for the 2023 class. So that I don't see that train stopping anytime soon. Now, does that lead to national championships? Hasn't yet.
That kind of goes back to kind of like – it's not exactly what Herbstreit was saying Saturday morning, but do the kids care about winning national titles or getting to the league? You know, I know he was talking about kids don't care about football and then, you know, it's this generational thing. And, man – if you're USC and let's say he does get those guys there and he puts them in the league, high first round draft picks, but coupled with 7-win, 8-win seasons, Pac-12 title here and there, losing the first round of the college football playoffs, not without a national title. How long does USC tolerate that? That's my question. Is it about just beating, you know what I'm saying?
I think right now they'd say forever, because they've been down for so long. I mean, think about
they've been down for so long.
They had the blip with Darnold in a Rose Bowl, but outside of that, it's been barren.
Oh, it's been very bad.
Now here's the
when OU got Stoops in his first season, he got him to the Independence Bowl. We thought that was hooray. Top of the mountain. We're like, wow, we're out of the dark ages of the '90s where we're okay with this. So what I'm asking is, okay, yes, if they go 7-5 and they get to the Holiday Bowl or wherever, USC is going to love that next year. That's going to be a vast improvement.
And you know what else it's going to do? It's going to have a bunch of those dudes that live there that had been going everywhere else,
right,
way more excited. Now, here's the question. Did you see what C.J. Stroud said ahead of the Rose Bowl? That, of course, that was a big theme throughout that game, was him and also Cam Rising, who we all know that name, committed to Oklahoma, went to Texas, and he was a quarterback for Utah in that Rose Bowl. But they asked C.J. Stroud, why are people leaving Southern California? What is the deal? And he said, go to a game in any Big Ten school, basically. Go to a game anywhere outside of California.
Yep.
And it's so much of a bigger deal. Now, when Pete Carroll had it rolling at USC,
right,
he wasn't saying that. Now, he was two, but you know what I'm saying? When Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart, that Coliseum was filled to the gills.
Absolutely. They were the show in town.
They were the show in town, and that's what Riley brings. The wins will come, but the glitz and the glamour and the offensive explosion, listen, they want shiny things out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Lincoln Riley is that. And the quarterback play that he's been able to foster and to recruit is that. We've seen it. It's at the highest level. And I think it's not going to take much, because I've talked about it ad nauseum with this. There's five places in college football that just need the tick of a spark, and it blows up. You just talked about one of them with with Bob Stoops in 1999. I mean, you remember that Bedlam game that year in Norman? OU had to win that to make a bowl,
right?
And it was euphoric. And nobody really even remembers that Mississippi won that game on a last-second field goal.
I do.
I mean, but nobody cares, though, because it was the springboard.
Got to a bowl game.
That's
yes,
right.
And finally then, back to a bowl game. First time since 90...
Whatever.
Yeah, early
four,
90s.
Probably, I think, Gary Gibbs' last game, maybe.
Yeah.
And so that was the springboard to it. And that's all it takes at the true blue blood programs. That's all it takes.
Right.
Is just the whimper of a spark, and it blows up like a mushroom cloud. And that's the scary part, I think, if you're anybody out in the Pac-12 about Lincoln Riley being at USC. Now, here's my question. The only question I have about him and being there is, how important is football, not just to the fans of USC. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about to just in general. High school football, how big a deal is it? Is it like it was? Or not as big a deal?
I don't know. Honestly, been so disconnected with California because the football on the West Coast has not been good.
And yeah, the college football hasn't.
It has not. Is that because at the high school level, and we can't just blame California, Washington, Oregon, at the high school level, all in the Pac-12 area, is it mediocre?
Doesn't seem like it, because, well, at least not at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting the West Coast.
Yeah. I mean, you don't think C.J. Stroud 10 years ago isn't a Trojan? You're crazy.
Right.
Or he's fighting like hell to be that guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, Riley can get him from everywhere, from anywhere. But when they're right there with you, look out. That's the scary part.
I agree that,
and that's why I don't blame
the talent. He's going to develop the talent, but my only question is, how long before USC brass start to say, "Listen, you've gotten these guys here. You're putting them in the NFL. We're having fun, but where are the titles? This is what we hired you for. How many years until that rumbling starts?
A long time.
They want the Pete Carroll days where they're playing for national titles and winning them.
It'll be a long time because they've been so down. I mean, obviously it's impossible to say that because Stoops won in his second year, but think about OU fans. It was going to take a lot longer than 3 or 4 years to start grumbling when you're –
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because of how barren it was.
I understand.
And how barren it's been at USC.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask
I don't know the fan base very – like USC. You know, you see what I'm saying?
I think you'd be
Patient enough?
I think you'd be a lot more concerned with them getting in a malaise than uproar. You know what I'm saying? You want to keep them attached because there's so many other things to do. That's what title means to me, is keeping you attached versus – like they would in the Southeast or here,
mm-hmm.
going, "Oh my God, you're not winning the national title. Quit winning Big 12 title." I don't see that
right.
fan base
They're
is that
not
at all.
As fanatic as an LSU or as a Bama anywhere. Or Georgia, anywhere in the Southeast, basically. If you don't win a title in 2 years, you're already hearing the grumblings.
No,
I agree there. It's not that, but
I think you're worried about him getting bored more than burning down the Heritage Hall.
If the Dodgers keep winning World Series and if the Lakers still have LeBron and keep playing in the finals, they're going to be more interested in those teams than a 7-5 USC every year.
I think that's why you see this and Miami are very similar. When they're good, they're the hottest thing in town, and they can ride that wave for a while. But it drops off pretty quick with the care, because the fan bases don't really care that much.
That's probably
at the end of the day.
Like
that's right, because there's so many other things to distract their attention.
Yeah. When you're the only show in town in Norman or in Stillwater or even Austin, it's easy to be a top dog even if you are 7-5. You're the only show in town.
Yeah, and it almost goes the other way there. It's too much. You know what I mean? Like, there's, you know.
Yeah.
That's when everything gets out of whack. So, anyhow, Caleb Williams more than likely gone. I mean,
He's gone, right?
I mean, nobody really thinks he's going to release that statement and do all this and then come back to Oklahoma, right?
No, and then I want to know the story how they got Gabriel. Was it like, hey, hold on, was Lebby and him in contact, and then this came out, and Lebby picked up the phone and said, you want to come?
Had to, but I mean, it happened so fast.
Happened so quick, and he just immediately said, yep.
Another guy that it
got
seemed
the tweet
like.
Ready to push and send and everything. I'm ready to go.
It seemed like there was a bunch of momentum yesterday afternoon for another guy.
Really?
To be transferring into Oklahoma.
Somebody made a good tweet.
Casey Thompson.
Oh, really? That'd be funny.
Casey Thompson. I mean, I'm serious.
Pedigree's there. I don't have a problem with it, but that'd be funny. It definitely had depth, and you'd have one heck of a quarterback competition.
Yeah, you wonder if that ship has sailed now, though, with Gabriel coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, would there be –
Oh, this when I was talking about excitement, this is more exciting for me as far as not. I mean, outside of Caleb Williams, who would replace him? Who would be the guy? This excites me because of the history with Lebby, because they're already on the same page. He's going to know the offense immediately. Gabriel, that is. So that I'm like, all right, well, there's a glimmer of hope.
You know, it's not quite as exciting. The Josh Heupel shot put arm.
How crazy is this? Is this just paralleling history, repeating history?
Yeah,
you got a first year head coach, first head coaching job. He gets a transfer who's a lefty. Oh, by the way, he's hired two defensive coordinators.
Yeah, here's a question I have, and we're not going to know the answer to this for a while, but I do think it's a valid question. What was more important yesterday? To the future of Oklahoma's football program, was it Caleb Williams leaving, which more important would be a bad thing, or was it the hires that Brent Venables had made?
You go longevity. I think it's the hires. I mean, the immediate impact of Caleb Williams is going to be felt, and you mentioned it: 2 years, 1 year, 2 years. Absolutely, you're going to feel it. But if you can keep those coaches on campus, and if they can continue to recruit and develop he did at Clemson, then that I think the long lasting effects is greater there. Because you just said it. I mean, the coaches are on campus longer than players.
Most of them. Yeah, they really are.
And if, I mean, and that's Venables. I mean, he was, Kansas State for a few years, OU for, 10?
99 through 2011.
Okay. Then Clemson.
A decade.
Clemson for another decade. He seems like a guy who doesn't like to move around, and I think that reflects down to – I hope it reflects down to his coaches.
Well, but here's the problem with that, though. If you're running a good program and you're running an elite program, you're losing coaches.
Absolutely. It happens all the time.
The way you know you're not being very good – It's when you're having to fire them.
Nobody wants your – yeah, that too.
That's when you know it's not working.
Nobody wants your coaches, but if you have to start letting them go, yeah.
When it's a – but that's just – that's the
– But the coaching hires
– It does remind you.
You want immediate success. I get it. It's a what have you done for me lately world, right? That's what you want. You want fast food. You don't want to wait for your filet. Wait for it. If you are patient enough – I'm talking to fans now – I'm talking to myself, really. Be patient in this. In the coaching, I think, is going – the hires have been heralded, right, so far. So I think that is going to have a longer-lasting effect, you hope, than Caleb Williams leaving.
Yeah, the question is, how fast will that effect take place, and how does that coincide with quit playing Kansas, Kansas State, and Iowa State and have to start playing Texas A&M, Arkansas, and LSU?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because for the first time, if defections really ravage this program after Williams leaving, I can actually see Oklahoma stumbling into the SEC, and how long does it take for them to get any type of footing, or even can they, with the records they're going to be firing out there? This is the first time I could actually see that happening. Let's keep it rolling with the different off-field topics with college football. We had this question on the text line yesterday about the NIL ruining college football. And I would say this, or ask the question like this. Will it ruin college football, or will it just change college football? And are those two things different, or are they, or maybe the same, depending on your point of view, if that makes sense? Because right now, if you're an OU fan, I feel like the answer is a ruin because of what's going on with the transfer portal, or is it a combination? And if it is, to the point of ruining, okay, what does it take to fix it? How do you fix what is right now essentially, like we just said, free agency and absolutely the wild, wild west in college football right now?
Well, I mean, like any pro league, there are limits and tampering laws and rules and stuff like that, right?
Which one would say that's what the portal is? You have to be in the portal, and then once you get there, then you're courted.
But is that really you know what I mean? There's back channels and different
ways. Just like there isn't anything else, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're seeing the evolution of college football into NFL light is what it is. How to fix it, I don't know. I mean, you'd think you'd just take the model of the NFL and go with it, you know, evolve with it. But it's – and you've said it before, and I've sitting and thinking about it, and it's true. It's turning into the haves and the have-nots. I mean, there's no way the schools like – Tulsa and Akron and other small schools can compete with this.
I mean, Mike Gundy essentially said on the dais after winning the Fiesta Bowl, if you like this and you like what we've done, you're going to have to pony up. I mean, he said that without saying it, you know, to the people that needed to hear. You know what I'm saying? He's never going to have a bigger stage than that after beating Notre Dame. And Mark Rogers called it like an altar call. That's exactly kind of what – it was like the end of a revival.
You would just hope that your school is financially has the backing do that.
Yeah, the backing. That's right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You'd hope that you got the T-Boons or, you know, the Gaylord families of the world to back it up, to find NIL deals, to fund that, to channel that. I don't know what words I'm looking for, but because if you don't, you're going to fall behind the Miamis and the USCs. I've been screaming that since NIL became a thing, was that, man, you're going to see Miami. And there was an article yesterday on ESPN talking about just that. This is a chance for Miami to get back into the upper echelon of college football because they have all those resources there in South Beach to create these awesome NIL deals for these kids.
But how long does it last?
That's a great question.
How long does it last, and how many – I mean, because listen, it seemed like a fine investment to give Spencer Rattler the deal he got coming off the season he had at Oklahoma.
Right.
It seemed like a fine investment for, you know, to lure Quinn Ewers to Ohio State a year early out of high school in Texas because he couldn't get that money. Where's that at now? And how many of those does it take to kind of, I don't know, sour those guys with the money? Because, listen, they have money because they were smart with it and smart enough how to make it. Mm-hmm. And losing propositions with 18-year-old kids ain't it. That's why, to me, you know who's been the most brilliant of all this? Outside of A&M for paying for whatever they just paid for that class. But you know who's more brilliant than even that?
Who's that?
Texas.
With the setup?
I think it's a great setup. Because
that's what I was talking
here's
about.
Here's why.
Schools need to do more of this.
It spreads the wealth. It's not just about one guy.
Right, right.
And it also isn't just about pushing a product in the – because here's the deal. Like, nationally, these college athletes aren't, like, shoe salesmen. They're not LeBron. They're not Tiger. They're not. They don't have the national appeal that those other guys have. And a big part of it is because most of the country's rooting against them. You know what I'm saying? No one's going to go buy Gatorade because Bryce Young is telling you to. Well, most people hate Bryce Young because they hate Alabama. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like, that's not, they don't have that appeal. And oh, by the way, they're not international stars by any stretch. A lot of people don't know who they are. Now, we do, of course, because we like what he does.
Right.
So that's where I think what Texas is doing is so much smarter, is getting a pool of money to give to a bigger group of the team, and then also not tying it to being able to push a product. They're tying it in back to them doing something good in the community. And I think that really is going to resonate with a segment of the population that produces college football players. And that's the African-American moms and dads who their roots are in the church. I mean, that's just the truth. And then in the South, that is, you know, those people are church-going, God-fearing people. And when you can show that, hey, we're doing good with this. We're not just giving your kid money.
Yeah.
We're having them do some good with it. I think that resonates. And that's so smart to pool it, first of all, not just try to – I mean, sure, anybody can put together $2 million or $5 million or whatever it is for Caleb Williams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any booster club in the country, a big-time college football, can figure that out. But what are they going to do for everybody else?
And what about the left guard who's protecting
that's right.
him?
And then how does that go with the rest of the team and the team dynamics?
Right.
I don't think it does.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Somebody brought this up to me about how NIL is changing college football. And I never thought of it like this. He said, I'm too young to remember distinctly anything happening in the 90s when that all stuff happened, the bad days of OU football. But when has a student fan base booed one of their own on the field?
Well, and that's exactly right. Spencer Rattler is gone.
They're looking at him driving these cars. Mm-hmm. He's going to class, we think. He's going to parties, and then he's performing like that. It has the potential, and I think we saw it, the potential of the students and then to a more –
Oh, the entire fan base.
The entire fan base to turn on this kid. But listen, you got these cars, and now you're throwing interceptions. Boo!
It's just like the NFL.
Now, when does that leak into the locker room like the NFL sometimes? Like,
well,
you got that endorsement deal with BMW, but I'm the one keeping your butt clean.
Look at Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
What's one of the – outside of him just not looking like the same quarterback he was here – what's one of the main criticisms? Guy, he's on every commercial during the game. But he's not any good. Why? I mean, right. We're certainly going to hear that at 2:00. I can promise you.
Yeah.
And it's not just Jim. It's a lot of people think that because they automatically put those faces selling those products with successful athletes.
Right.
Because, for the most part, they have been. Michael, Tiger, LeBron. Then the list goes on, right? You don't. The Stephon Marbury tennis shoe didn't last long.
Right.
And that's the same way with some of this stuff. And that's why I think what Texas is doing is so genius, and it's longer lasting with the NIL in the place that it is now. It almost fosters more of a team atmosphere.
Sure.
Because then everybody's getting a little piece of the pie. And we can talk about this all offseason, and we probably will. But I'll also say this. You know what you don't hear about in college football when we're talking about NIL? Mm. You know who's weirdly missing from this conversation? And everyone just assumes you have to pay him. And I'm not naive enough to believe that these guys aren't getting paid. But you know what you don't hear in public coming out of a certain camp?
What's that?
Alabama. You don't hear a damn thing about the NIL from Nick Saban, from any of their players. And you don't know what they're getting. You don't know the deals. You have no idea.
Right.
You got no clue.
Unless you get a defector that says, man, they recruited me with money and not playing time.
Yeah.
Or maybe, like a Kobe McKenzie.
Well, and that was Texas, you know, and that's clearly was their pitch, was money, this recruiting. But you hear nothing from Alabama.
No.
Nothing.
No.
And I'm not naive enough to believe that those guys are going there because they the love of Nick Saban and they're going to get to play in the NFL. And that stat during the Cincinnati game was just unbelievable. Every player that's ever played for Nick Saban at Alabama, every has won a national title. Recruiting class, every one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, certain people are promising money and NFL and all, and he's promising. I can promise you a national title, and I'm not joking. I really can.
Yeah,
promise you in your 4 years here, you will win a national title.
Who's to say the kicker's not getting an NIL deal? It's just in Tuscaloosa, and we don't know about
that's,
it. You know?
But that's the whole thing. Yeah. It's kept in-house.
Yeah, yeah. They're not beating their chest with it and saying, hey, look at us. I got this deal. And
absolutely not.
Come to Tuscaloosa and not only win national titles, get millions of dollars, but no, it's not. It's not a more
And maybe,
but he doesn't – you're right. He doesn't have to have NIL deals. When you're at the top of the mountain like that, but that's the whole idea. You want to get the NIL deal, sure, but it kind of goes back to my question. Like, what's more important for the kid, the NIL deal or a national title?
Well, and here's another question. Is he getting – now, listen, he's getting whoever he wants to, right? We know that. But is he calling certain guys at certain positions going, you know what? If that's your first question, hit the road. We'll get this guy that's just as good as you. That ain't his first question.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's a hell of a topic that we're going to have fun with all offseason long. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.